Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Atlantic Bushcraft Adventures. Tonight we are on episode 237, and we thought we'd talk a little bit about judging weather. And this was actually your topic, Ben, so I have my thoughts on it, but why don't you lead us in a little bit here? I always like to give the person that, you know, came up with the topic the chance to explain it a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so just trying to think of something that we haven't talked about in a while and probably never really went into great detail. I think we've probably in passing covered some of this in the past, but when you're planning a trip, like, weather is something you have to really take into consideration. And generally when you're planning a trip, you're not planning it for tomorrow. You're planning it for 6 weeks, a month, a year, depending on the trip and what's involved in it. So you have to plan these things out ahead. And if you're trying to do it with multiple people and you're trying to get multiple schedules to mesh, sometimes you don't have a lot of leeway to move it around because weather's coming in. So you need to learn how to look at weather and judge weather and predict well in advance good weather. So, I mean, everyone does it to a certain degree. We all know that in summer we expect warmer weather and winter we expect colder weather, and that seems overly obvious. But you can use that exact same logic to narrow things down even more. So you can look at, like, historical norms. In that time of year, is it normally warmer, drier, cooler? Are the winds more? You can also look at current trends. I think you hear people talking about El Nino and El Niño. Is it? Things like that. All these things are things you can use and figure out. Is it going to be a wetter year, a drier year? So that was the gist of where I wanted to go with.
Well, I mean, just along that thought pattern there, something that I like to do, like, I'm not a big spring camper, simply because where I'm from, and you know this as well, Ben, it's always wet here. Like, the spring is probably the most miserable time to try and go in the woods around here. Not that you can't, don't get me wrong, it's just, it's not as fun. Because the second that it gets warm enough, you can go out and you don't have to worry too much about, you know, taking all the winter gear, you move right into the rainy season and bug season, which just kind of go back to back. So, yeah, just basing it strictly off the seasons, my favorite time is usually, like, fallish type area, because it's not super hot, not super cold, and usually right around now, except for this year, for whatever reason, the bugs seem to start dwindling off, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I mean, that's kind of what I wanted to hit on. I mean, like, you're planning a trip. How do you judge the weather? How do you prepare yourself for this trip that you're planning on doing? And I think there's a lot of things you can do, and you have to start as far out as possible. So before you even get close, take a look at the longest range forecast you can find. Some people have used the Farmer's Almanac. I mean, not necessarily good to down to the day, but it might give you an idea, because these people are taking into consideration historical averages, different things that have happened over the last little while, and you can use that to sort of boil yourself down to a good thing. And then as you get closer, you'll use more things. I never go with a single weather forecast. So, I mean, one of my favorites is the Weather Network, but honestly, it's not super great. You can also look up Environment Canada. And everyone in, say, Canada probably uses Environment Canada, but they make their own predictions based off that info. And so those little algorithms are going to give you that variance.
A couple other things that I like to try, and these are available to our, you know, brethren to the south as well, to the U.S. I'm a big fan, huge fan of Storm Pulse and VentuSky. Now, Storm Pulse is only for storms. Funny enough, you know what I mean? It's not going to be a day-to-day weather, but if for tracking hurricanes and things like that, they'll track them to almost 2 weeks out, and they'll amalgamate all the different forecasting centers from across the globe, and you can look at, like, the historical data for whatever storm, as well as the projected models. And, of course, they can vary greatly. Very rarely do they all pick the same path. But you get an idea, you get an idea of which way it's heading, you know what I mean? It's going to head northeast, or it's going to head northwest, or it's going to head straight north. Like, you get an idea. And if you match that up with another site I like to use, which is VentuSky, and it'll go to about 14 days out, you can actually track the jet streams and stuff like that. And once you get, you know, the hang of how to use these two websites together, you can kind of start making your own rudimentary predictions on what the weather is going to be like up to almost 2 weeks out.
Yeah. I think it's like every skill you get in bushcrafting and outdoors is the more you pay attention to it, the more you'll see trends. You'll notice things. I mean, the obvious ones is weather generally comes from the west towards the east. So if you're looking for Nova Scotia and you want to know what it's going to be like in a few days, looking to Ontario and seeing the weather they got there. Not that that'll be exactly the same, but that same fronts are generally rolling along that way. Mm-hmm. Also down the states, what's coming up the coastline. As for Nova Scotia, you got a couple of types of weather that tend to collide there. And you need to kind of keep an eye and see how those interact. And in the future, you'll be able to better predict how that'll affect you. And you can say, okay, one thing we've always known for years is most hurricanes, by the time they hit Nova Scotia, are tropical storms.
Yeah. Except most. Lately, they seem to be actually remaining as hurricanes.
Right?
Excuse me.
But you do know that when there's a hurricane watch and everyone's screaming, at the very least, you can expect slightly higher winds and more rain.
Yeah. And that's just it. You can also track, like, the historical data. So 25 years ago, you're right. Most hurricanes that would hit here, tropical storms at best. You most times pose tropical storms. A little bit of a breeze, ton of rain. The last 5 years, Eastern Canada, we're getting a lot more actual full-on hurricanes. And now towards Eastern to Central Eastern Canada, we're actually getting tornadoes and stuff. Like, the weather is changing. These are things worth jumping on some of these websites and just doing a little bit of reading. You don't have to commit hours and hours and hours, unless you want to looking this stuff up. Most of these websites are going to have historical tracks up to a couple years ago, pretty much readily available on them. And that information, like you said right from the start of this, works very much like the almanac, which Nomad's talking about over here. He says, break out the Farmer's Almanac. And is it as good as the Farmer's Almanac? Or, I mean, that's debatable. There's a lot of people that don't even agree with the Farmer's Almanac and things like that, but at least it's historical data. And you can make educated guesses. You know what I mean? That's what science is. At the best of times, you're making educated guesses with the information that you have handed to you.
Yeah. No, 100%. Making those educated guesses, taking a look at all the data you have available to you, helps prepare you better as you get closer to it. So that's the long range stuff. Like that's from 1 year to like a couple of days before. Those are definitely useful things to have for you. And then when you're going in, obviously you should have a pretty good scope of probably the best case and worst case scenarios that you can expect and anything in between. So you should have an idea of what the highest temperatures you can expect, what the lowest temperatures you can expect, what the most precipitation you can expect, and maybe the highest winds. And once you calculate all that in, you should have your gear dialed down to survive most of that. And the next step from that is, while you're there, how do you keep an eye on the weather, especially if you have limited communication?
And there is some... There is some things I do in the woods, and once again, some people may call them hokey, some people are going to call them old-fashioned, things like that, but there is a couple things that I swear by in the woods and stuff like that, and a very distinct wind shift, either mid-morning or mid-afternoon, is a big sign to me, and I don't, early morning, late evening, and noon, not so much, because that's the natural wind shifts throughout Canada. We get lee winds as the, you know, and coastal winds, depending on if it's night or day and what's hotter, what's warmer, we get that wind shift there. But if it's like mid-afternoon, mid-morning, that means usually a pressure front's moving in. Something like that, you know what I mean? And depending if the temperature drops hard or if the humidity climbs, could, you know, dictate a little bit about what's going to happen there in the next little bit.
Yeah.
Looking at the comments?
Yeah, no, that's shit.
Oh.
Shit. 6 to 7.
So yeah, generally if it's going to be like a warm, humid blast blow through, you're probably going to get some rain. And most likely a temperature spike. Humidity's going to go up. It's going to get kind of, sticky, humid, not so great, but survivable. And maybe, depending on the time of year, like if it was this time of year and it's 3 degrees outside right now, and all of a sudden you get a nice warm blast that moves in, might make your nights a little easier. You know what I mean? Yes, it may be a little more humid, but yeah, you're a little warmer. Now, on the flip side of that, if it's this time of year and it's like 12 degrees outside, and all of a sudden you get like a cold front blow in from a north wind or something like that, well, you might be in for some windy, cooler evenings. You know what I mean? And those are just some basic things. And I'm not a meteorologist. I am just some hillbilly in the woods that makes his own observations. So I really encourage people for the local areas to look for different things like that. That's just what works here in Nova Scotia for me. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things, I mean, you must be familiar with this. It's a cricket or a beetle that makes a buzzing noise.
Cicada to tell temperature. Oh no, cricket,
Yeah.
cricket. Yeah, sorry.
It's a cricket. And so as the temperature goes up, you'll hear them make noise more often. So basically, you could get an idea if temperature's going up. So something like that. If you can understand the different cloud formations and what that means for weather, you can often predict your weather using those things. And we're not experts on this. We're not telling you that look for this type of cloud, or we're not going to explain this stuff to you. This is stuff for you to learn kind of on your own, but it's places to go. But the one, the wivetale that I've always been told is red sky at morn, sailors take warn, red state at night, sky at night, sailors delight. And I haven't tested it out here, but growing up in Newfoundland and living in Nova Scotia, it was pretty accurate. If you got a nice, beautiful red sky at night, the next day was usually absolutely gorgeous. And if you had a big red sky in the morning, then usually something ominous was heading your way.
And Nomad said something here. When it comes to big storms, one sign is to look for wind blowing the trees in a way where you see the underside of the leaves. Something else that works is if there's no wind and the leaves start curling up to where you see the undersides more. That usually means there's rain in the forecast. Don't know why. And I apologize for all the sniffling and snorting and
Sorry.
stuff going on here, folks. Melissa and I are both homesick. So there's going to be some of that, and I apologize now, but moving on. Yeah, when the needles and leaves start curling up, it's usually after a drier period, that means that there's going to be rain coming. And it's held true, at least here in Eastern Canada. That was something that my grandfather used to tell me tons of times when we were out doing brush in the woods, because we'd be sitting there having a cup of tea out of the mason jar or whatever, and he'd be like, "Oh, you see the needles up here? They're starting to see that, underside green. We're probably going to get rain in the next 48 hours." And he was usually right. Now, the other side of this is I was young enough at the time. There's a good chance he could have listened to the radio, just knew the weather, and was screwing with me, to be perfectly honest. But I still look at this stuff, and it still holds true to a degree. You know what I mean? Another big one that my grandmother and grandfather always used to say was mackerel sky, never 24 hours dry. Have you heard that one?
I know what you mean. It's, yeah, that's.
Yeah, so if you look up the clouds, and this is generally when you already have overcast, something like that. But as we know here in Canada, it's very easy to get overcast or clouds roll through and have no rain. It just becomes a cloudy day. So if you're looking at those clouds and it looks like there's a fish's scale or more like a golf ball dimple going along the clouds, that's a really good indication that you're probably going to get some rain, and it's probably going to be heavier rain coming within the next 24 hours.
Yeah. Another thing, like my grandfather always kept a barometer on the wall. And I know everyone say, "Oh, I don't have a barometer." But I remember he'd get up there every day, he'd tap it, and he'd adjust the little needle that shows whether it's going up or down. And if you see a massive change, either way, it really doesn't matter, on a barometer, then you can expect a weather change. Because that means you have a different system coming in. So you're in a high pressure area and a low pressure is coming in, or vice versa. When you get two pressures that change, that's churning up the air, and it's going to usually create some kind of effects. And interestingly enough, a lot now of phones, GPSs, and even some of the smartwatches have built-in barometers.
Just looking at some, what's Danny saying here? Do either of you know the method of using the different color in the sky to predict the weather? I read it before, but don't really remember it well. And I think that's what Ben was talking about there, Danny, is pink sky at night, Sailor's Delight, pink sky in morning, Sailor's Warning. There's also some purplish hues and stuff like that they'll come across that usually means you're going to get some, like, overcast. Humidity's going to climb, things like that. If it's a bright, clear, like, super crisp blue evening, and you get that really nice hued purple to black as it comes on dusk, generally that means the humidity's going to break away. As Ben was saying about our two pressure systems here, something that comes with two pressure systems hitting like that and that big jump or lowering of barometric pressure, good indication of thunderstorms. You get those two pressures hitting together, one's going to push under, one's going to go over, you're going to get a lot of friction. All lightning is a static electricity, just on a massive scale, right? So you're getting all that frictional movement. You could get lightning.
So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a long topic tonight. It's just one of those things. How, when you're planning a trip, what are some things you can do? And I think it's really important to be aware of the weather and aware of the changes. And a good example of this is if you're doing a canoe trip, wind can keep you locked onto a shore for an extended period of time, and heavy rains and high winds can make it very unsafe to go.
Different clouds. Sorry, yeah. Danny actually said different clouds. It was hidden behind the little sticker icon, not different colored skies. So the two big ones, Danny, that you're going to have to keep an eye on is going to be any kind of nimbus or cumulus. So cumulus nimbus, that's a thunderhead, or you'll get cumulus stratus, which is going to be like your long stringy clouds. That could be an indication of a low pressure front coming in or high pressure front. I can't remember. But anyway, like Ben had mentioned, it's one of those subjects I know enough to be dangerous, not enough to be useful, if that makes any kind of sense. I do have a book that I had gotten when I was with Natural Resources, and it was on fuel loading and weather forecasting and stuff like that. And I do refer to it. It stays in my training materials over there, as well as my bushcrafting materials, because it was great cross-reference, and it had a lot of indications of what different clouds mean to atmospheric conditions. It was more for, in this instance, for us to predict how fire is going to behave, you know what I mean? If you have a stable or unstable atmosphere, it's going to, you know, dictate how that fire is going to grow or recede and stuff like that, but the backside of this was it also told you a lot about how the clouds indicate different pressure fronts and things like that, and you know, rain clouds and all that good stuff. It's a super interesting topic, and it's one of those things you can literally look this stuff up on Google, print a few things off, and go outside and practice this stuff. It's super fascinating, or at least I found it very fascinating when I was doing it.
Yeah, no, it is an entire discipline. I mean, meteorology is a big thing, and it takes a lifetime to learn, and me and you do not claim to be experts on it by any means, and at best amateur at best, but it is a subject that I think we really need to pay attention to. When you're out there, you need to sort of do everything you can to protect yourself and to make sure you're getting the most enjoyment out of it, and knowing these things can help. There's a whole bunch too that are related to animals. Was it if the hornets are building their nests or wasps are building their nests in the trees, it's going to be a lot of snow, or vice versa.
Lower to the ground, the least amount of snow.
Yeah. So it's believed that a lot of animals can predict the weather, and there's certain breeding habits. So if you see more rabbits or something, you can sort of predict something. Can't remember how that one works, but if you can look up these things and find these things for your area, and some of them, you know, they come from the old timers having seen this for years and say, oh, every year that we had a really good this, then this was usually the follow on, you know, better year or lesser year. Understanding those things, how, you know, all kinds of animals can be used to predict things. Fish can predict earthquakes, but they can also be a good prediction of other things, right? When you find that animals are eating more or they're moving away, they group as a seagulls. If seagulls come inshore, there's usually a reason for that.
Cats. Somebody had mentioned before, if cats are snoring or cleaning behind their ears a lot, potentially it's going to rain. And this one is just far left field. I never tested this because I don't own cats. Not that I have anything against a cat. I just have never owned a cat. Something that I actually use quite a bit, and I just thought of it as I was looking out the window here, is I use the moon a lot. to dictate what the weather's going to do the next day. So if you have a really clear moon, generally the temperature is going to drop. Like, I mean, crystal clear, there's no ring around it, it's not hazy, it's just a very clear moon. I think the old saying is clear moon, frost soon, if I'm not mistaken. As where the other one, if you get a moon dog or a moon halo around it, a haloing effect around the moon, generally that means there's going to be weather moving in, or at least humidity.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I remember hearing about that, the moon dogs. So I think that's stuff that you need to keep in mind and really think about. So, you know, I'm planning a trip this weekend. I looked up the long range forecast. I kind of looked at some of the predictions, and honestly, the first few days is calling for really nice, and then the latter few days called for showers, 60%. And the temperatures are still not too bad. And I'm looking at everything and I'm thinking, yeah, it might be not great for a few minutes, but I think overall it's going to be pretty good. So, you know, I'm looking at it as a positive thing. I think too many people look at the weather and then make the assumption to the worst and then miss out on good trips. So I highly recommend that you plan for the worst, expect the best, you know, like hope for the best. And learn to enjoy it, but always have in your back of your mind what could go wrong, what issues you might have, and make sure you have like a plan. The best example I'm going to come up with is probably a multi-day canoe trip, where if the weather goes really bad, you could be forced to stay in an area for longer than expected. You know, it's easy to plan for and prepare for, but once you've planned for it, if it happens, you plan for it. And if it doesn't happen, you had a great trip. And even if it happens, chances are you're going to remember it. Remember the time I was stuck there for an extra day and I go watch the lightning storm from my tent for 24 hours? Missed the day's work? It was awesome.
So I thought of one more thing people may like. Bushcrafting related as well. Open pine, weather's fine. Pine cones. I totally forgot about that too. So pine cones will only open when the weather is generally pretty good because it's how they disperse their seeds. Wetter weather or damper weather, they'll tend to remain closed.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, that was just another one that popped up that I thought really well mixed with the bushcrafting aspect of this.
So is there anything else we want to talk about, or is that more or less...
I think for tonight, unfortunately, folks, this is going to be a shorter episode. As we said, both of us are feeling a little under the weather. Melissa and I, as well as Lily, we're all sitting down here fighting the old Rona. So that kind of sucks, and my body aches are coming back because my Advil's wearing off. And I know you're not feeling that great either, Ben. So unfortunately tonight, folks, I think we're going to end her a little early. We just didn't want to leave without doing a podcast. But I mean, weather's one of those things we just want to get you interested in it and thinking about it. It's one of those things you're going to have to do a little research for your local area and see what works for you. All these things that I talked about in these, what's the word I'm looking for, Mel? Adjectives? Adverbs? Anyway, whatever the heck they're called. She's not listening. That's just ones I learned here growing up in like logging camps and doing brush and stuff like that. I don't know if they work everywhere. They might not. I don't know. I just know it's true here to Nova Scotia. And I encourage people to just literally start asking some of the folks that are in their 60s around them. I bet you they're going to hear a ton of things that you never knew. It's one of those, believe it or not, it's one of those conversations that I can spark up with people. I have really good conversations with, I don't want to say senior citizens, but older folks. You know what I mean? Like 60, 70, 80 years. You get them talking. People. What's that?
Experienced people.
You get them talking, especially if they're woodsy people or outdoorsy people at all. They're going to start telling you stuff that you never knew and just weed out the good information with those potentially long, drawn-out stories. And these folks love that somebody's interested in what they have to say. So if you can find a couple of folks like this, and this is where the bushcraft gatherings and stuff like that are just absolutely amazing. Get out there, find somewhere, talk to these people, find what works for you around your area.
Remember, environment affects weather. So, I mean, being on the West Coast and we have the Pacific Ocean and the mountains behind us, we get a lot more rain generally. But there's different factors that can make more rain or less. Then you get on the other side of the Rocky Mountains, you have what's called the rain shadow. They get less rain. So there's drier areas, more desert-like areas. Thunder Bay in Canada is known for a ton of thunder. Whatever it is about that particular region, they tend to get the weather pattern that makes thunder more often.
Danny had a good point here, too. Farmers are other people to hit up for stuff. Farmers know weather, man.
I mean, the reason the Farmers Almanac came out is to help farmers better predict what to grow. Certain crops won't grow in good in certain weather. So some years they would grow something that might not be the ideal thing for them otherwise, but they know that they would get a good harvest, where a harvest that, if it's successful, would be more lucrative. Knowing that it's going to probably rain more than they expect, they're going to take a crop that needs more rain and is more hardy for them. So that's definitely something there. And like you said, the more experienced people, my grandfather for years kept a journal whenever he went to his cabin, and half it was just the weather, you know? Came this time of year, this was the weather, this was the temperature. It wasn't a lot of information, but if over the years you go back, you can sort of map that out. You could plot that in a graph and get an idea of, has the weather been changing over the last 20 years of him going to that cabin? You can get a pretty good solid history.
I assume those sirens are at your place, not mine?
Yeah.
Okay. My ears are a little clogged up, and the fire department's only like five buildings down, so I wasn't 100% sure.
So anyways, yeah, that's exactly the sort of things you want to get into, is look at the history, talk to the people, understand what you can and cannot predict, get what are the prevailing winds for the area. All this stuff is really going to help you. And the more you learn, the better you're going to be able to sort of prepare yourself and maybe not miss out on really good opportunities because you're just afraid. And I think that's the big thing, is weather's not something we need to be afraid of, but just learn to understand and better predict.
No, exactly. And one thing that popped into mind, just to finish this topic out on, is aspect. So depending on what side of a hill or something you're on could dictate if your morning's going to be warm or not. Here,
yeah.
Southwestern sides of hills, they get the first light. They're going to warm up the soonest. They're going to dry off the soonest. They're also going to be in the dark the soonest. So things to think about. Definitely get out there, do some research, see what works for you. Do you folks have any of those old sayings about how to predict weather? I'm super interested in this stuff. So if you folks got things like that, jump on our Facebook page, our YouTube page, whatever. Start posting some comments up under this. I would love to hear them and get out there and test them a little bit. I love this kind of information. I feel like these sayings and skills are kind of being lost to time because we have technology literally at our fingertips. Well, not mine. I don't know where my cell phone is. But we have technology at our fingertips.
Yeah. But that technology at some point is not going to be there for you. And having an extensive knowledge and a breadth of areas to pull from will definitely prepare you better. So, yeah. Anyways, I hope everyone learned something from this, or at least, you know, we piqued your interest in the subject, and you can, expand on it on your own. And, like you said, if you learn something, please share it. We would love to learn more ourselves. But I really want you guys to get out there and, experience it and think about it and, you know, grow in that area.
And I'm a firm believer that some of these old methods, though may not be as pinpoint accurate as modern technology, have better forecasting than modern technology. Because we all know now, like the Weather Network, and I'm not picking on the Weather Network, it just happens to be the one that, for around here, you look at the weather, what it's supposed to be in 3 days, every hour you check, that could change drastically, up until about 3 hours before the time you're looking at. It's just how it goes. The technology is so encompassing, it's always updating, and sometimes that can lead to a little confusion. That's where I think some of these things may be a little simpler. You don't know you're going to get a ton of rain, but if it's, pink sky and morning, you're probably going to get some wind and rain. How much? Debatable, but you know it's going to be windy and rainy.
I actively look at a 3-day forecast and say, I'm not going to trust that. That being said, I still look at it because I want to see what range we could be looking at. I know that chances are, you know, in 3 days that might happen in four, or it may get, you know, the rainfall might get halved, because that's that weather that they predict coming your way. It's probably coming somewhere, but it might go further north or further south, or it may stall. And all these things are hard to predict. And that's why they have constant updates.
Yeah, no, entirely. But once again, folks, make your own decisions. We just wanted to get the old creative juices flowing. And report back with what works. I'd be really interested to see what old wise tales or actual good information, old sayings, work from around the globe. That's my goal. That's it for me. Unless you got some final thoughts, Ben.
That's it for me, too.
All right. Night, everybody. We'll catch you next week when we're both hopefully feeling better and with a little longer episode. Night, everybody. Not.